Good oral health is about more than just brushing and flossing your teeth. Dental disease is 100% preventable, and it starts at home with you. Yep, you heard me right. Cavities are a disease and not something our children should just get. Your mouth is a window into your body, and it has an effect on your speech, breathing, chewing, heart health, so much more, and we're not listening to it. Come along with me on this journey, and I'll give you a whole new perspective of the importance of taking care of your mouth and the long-term effects it has not only on your oral health, but also your overall systemic health. On this podcast, we'll bring you a mixture of professionals, experts in the field that will give you advice and action steps you can take with your kids in different situations. We're also going to have moms, dads, caregivers, just like you, having the same struggles that you are, because together we can make a difference and help keep our kids healthy. Because a healthy mouth is a healthy body and a healthy life. And it all starts with you. Welcome back to the Healthy Mouth Movement Podcast. Today, my guest is Andrea Borowa. She also goes as Annie. And we are going to talk about getting back to your roots. That is her business. She is a nurse practitioner, and she also does functional medicine. So she is amazing. I'm so thankful that she does this close to me in my area, and that I was able to meet her. And we're going to talk about where she came from, why she's doing this, and how we can help moms that are having a hard time putting all the pieces together, figure out where to start and where to go when they're struggling. So Annie, thank you for being here.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. So let's talk a little bit about how you got into this and why you felt there was such a need, because there's a huge need for what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So my nurse practitioner career started at urgent care, and I was very pregnant with my second child. And I mean, it was the height of COVID. So I was working my butt off. I was seeing probably 60 plus patients a day, working 12-hour shifts, sick all the time myself because of what I was being exposed to all the time. So I went on maternity leave. And the first day of maternity leave, I got a call from a pediatrician who I did my clinicals with, offering me to come work for him. And I just saw how sick our children are. Chronic illness, recurrent ear infections, recurrent strep throat, having to get tubes and tonsils and adenoids removed, hyperactivity, asthma, eczema. I mean, like, you name it. Like, I was just seeing it all. And I'm not that old, but I don't ever remember a lot of that stuff. I don't remember a lot. Like, I think there was like one kid in my class that had hyperactivity. Nobody had asthma. Nobody had eczema. I think one kid would get migraines. Like, that's like all I remember growing up. And so just being like, why is it so prevalent? And I would ask the pediatrician, you know, oh, genes, you know, it's genes, it's genetic, which plays a part, but that's not the main answer. So I also have, my firstborn was actually born with a cleft lip and cleft palate. And after I had him, the geneticist that I met with said, you know, make sure you're taking folate before you have baby number two. And so I did this deep dive on folate, and I wasn't a nurse practitioner yet. And I did this deep dive, and I was like, that's so interesting, because all they've ever said is folic acid for neural tube development, right? And almost 40 to 60% of Americans cannot absorb folic acid, and it can actually be almost like a toxin for them. So I had my second baby, no issues there. He was healthy and all of those things. And my oldest is doing wonderful. But those two things, and obviously COVID too, just like really just, I'm like, I have to help people. I'm temporarily making them feel better, but I'm not actually healing them, right?
Yeah.
And so when you become a provider, I think we have this dream of like what we're going to do, and we're actually going to heal people, right? Like, I imagine people getting better, and that wasn't happening, and I was getting frustrated. So I needed more answers.
I'm so glad that you did that, and that you said something about folate and folic acid, because they say that that's the reason we're seeing more tongue restrictions.
Ties. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. So both of my children totally have tongue ties. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what I was doing there, but one was folic acid, the other one was folate. But I think I still was still consuming things that were enriched with folic acid. So I think that was probably part of it with mine as well. So, and I don't think people understand where it's not just in your prenatal, it's in every processed food that you can buy. So like your cereals, your breads, your pastas, I mean, they put it in everything. And so, yeah, that's kind of my theory too, is like, this is why we're having these MTHFR problems.
Yeah.
And this is why we're having all these ties as well. So,
and I think a lot of moms don't know about the MTFH or FR. So
MTHFR. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that really quick. So
yeah,
I don't know about that. Know what that is and why it's important to look for that and test for it.
So one, if you have, so MTHFR, it's a genetic, and we can have a mutation in that gene. And if we have that mutation in the gene, we have a hard time with methylation. And so methylation is like at the cellular level, one of the most important things, right? Like helps with detoxification, helps with like regeneration of our cells, all of that kind of stuff. And so if that's not working properly, we're going to have a lot of issues, correct? Can't get rid of the toxins that we're exposed to. If we're not making new cells appropriately, we're going to have a lot of chronic issues, right? So one way that I check it, because it can be kind of expensive to check for the MTHFR gene to see if there's any variants there, I look at homocysteine. And so, I mean, I just like, this is like, if you do have that MTHFR and your homocysteine is elevated, that puts you at risk for miscarriage, puts you at risk for atherosclerosis if you're an adult. And yeah, with kiddos, like they cannot clear these things. So it makes them more prone to illness, more susceptible to things like toxicity from environmental things, the things that they're putting in their body, the food that they're eating, all of that kind of stuff. So I hope that it's kind of a loaded, it's a long question, but
it
I hope that kind
question.
Of,
it is.
I hope that kind of answered it.
And from a dental standpoint, if your child has that gene, you should not give them nitric oxide.
Yes.
Because they can't stop it out of their system. So,
correct.
And you also want to make sure that they don't have a lot of heavy metals. So you want to test them for heavy metals, because our water recently has three things that are very high: birth control, antibiotics, and heavy metals. And it accumulates in our kids' bodies, and we pass it along as the mom too. So if you had a lot of those things, you can pass that along. And same thing with the restriction. If your kids had a restriction, either you or your husband had a restriction. So it's a
my husband for sure.
Wow. It's my husband.
It's my husband.
So that also is a problem. But if you have that problem with the folic acid, and our foods are very toxic if you shop in the aisles. So you really want to stay in the perimeter of the grocery store, because
absolutely,
can't process this. And we were talking a little bit before we started that our bodies are in overload. So we're putting things in and we're not even absorbing them. We're just peeing and pooping them right out. So we're not,
or they're getting stored in places they shouldn't be. Yeah.
Right. And that's why what you do is really important, because you can test and see what is out of balance in your specific body, in your child's specific body, before you just start taking things because you're having these symptoms. So our healthcare system is a sick care system, right?
You go to the doctor
until you're having symptoms, and then they treat the symptoms, and usually with a medication.
Correct.
But
Band-Aids.
From where I stand from, we should be testing more than what they test in Western medicine. We should be looking at, what are your vitamin D levels? What are your toxicity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happening with vitamin D? Because I think a lot of us are low in vitamin D.
Oh, we all are, which leads to leaky gut, which leads to all of these other things. So, yep. Yeah, absolutely. And not fearing the sun. I think we all fear that sun. So yes, supplementation is fine, but vitamin D is also loaded with the supplementation. Like, you got to make sure you have your K2, you got to have those good cofactors with it, K2 and magnesium. And yeah, I don't get me wrong, I love Western medicine. My eldest, I mean, you know, I like have this like double-edged sword. I'm like, thank God, because we've had these surgeries for him that has helped him. But if I would have taken folate, would this not have happened in the first place? I don't know. You know what I mean? So, you know, and that's the thing. And that's what I said to them. I'm like, that's what I said mentally to my husband and to my family. I was like, well, why would they tell us this? Because a baby born with an intact palate doesn't bring them any income, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and not that I'm thinking these people, in their defense, they're not taught this stuff. I wasn't taught this stuff. I went and learned it on my own because, of course, I had some passion behind it.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of us functional medicine people come from. We've had our own stories that lead us there and want us to help people and get the word out and spread it. And so we're so lucky we have people like you doing this podcast to spread awareness. I just love that. So thank you.
I think that this younger generation is more aware and they want to be more proactive rather than reactive. They want to do more preventative stuff. And I think that there's a lot more people questioning things just because of what's going on in the world and because of COVID. I think COVID made us start questioning a lot of the things that we were doing.
A lot of things. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things that I was so frustrated on was that they did not talk about with COVID that like one of the number one risk factors was obesity. And it was like, okay, all right. So number one risk factor is obesity. And what population did so poorly with COVID? The United States, because we are not healthy as a population. So
Yeah. And I believe that mouth breathing had a lot to do with it too, because I think that more people breathe through their mouth. And when you breathe through your nose warms, filters, humidifies the air. But when you breathe through your mouth, it doesn't. It goes right into your lungs. And what did COVID?
Yeah, your lungs. So bad. Oh my gosh. I didn't even think of that. But yeah, you're probably right. Yes. And see, and this is another thing I joke about. I have a 3-year-old and his favorite question right now is why? And I'm like, that is me. I just constantly sit here and I'm like, I want that why behind everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But why did you have the stroke? But why do you have plaque in your arteries? Why is your kid not sleeping through the night? Why, you know, those kinds of things. Like, I need to know why so that I can fix the why, right? So we can actually do something about it. Not just because it's developmental or because it's genetic, because, you know, those are umbrella terms that are just like, because they don't actually have the answer. You know, so
no, they don't. My daughter was wetting the bed and I wanted to know why. And they said, she'll just outgrow it. Well, yeah, she'll outgrow it, but she didn't outgrow the bed wetting. She grew into her body compensated is what happened. And she grew into other things. So that's what our body does. It compensates because it's trying to keep us alive. Our bodies are amazing, but there's a lot of operating systems that all work together, but we treat them separately. We treat our mouth separate from the rest of our body.
Right.
The dentist doesn't talk to the doctor.
No. And I don't know how many people I saw in urgent care coming in for tooth infections and they can't get into the dentist.
Right.
Dentists are popular. It's really hard to get into right now. So
I think dentists and doctors are really popular right now.
Yeah.
Right? Hard to
unfortunately
get into anything. And a lot of what we do is not covered under insurance. So
yes,
there are people that don't want to go down that road because they also feel if it's not covered under insurance, it must not be valuable, I think is what I'm seeing with what I do. But the thing is that insurance was really made for sick people. It's right. They're betting on you not having to use it, but there's so many more people that are sick these days. And that's why I wrote the book Owner, because I feel like we need to go back to our basics. I feel like we're not needing those basics with how you breathe, what you put in, getting enough sleep and respecting our bodies. I think we're just also go, 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 that we were also taught growing up that it was selfish to put ourselves first. But it's actually the opposite. You really need to put yourself first and put your health first, and then everything else will come versus, you know, waiting until you get sick and then spending your wealth that you've created, getting your health back.
Right. I know I had someone, you know, I work with obviously children, and I had one of the parents say, like, I have to put my oxygen mask on first, because if I don't, I can't help them. Right. So I'm like, that's such a great analogy. And we do, to be our best mom, employee, spouse, whatever, we got to prioritize our health first for sure. Absolutely.
But as moms, we put our kids first. So if your kids are struggling and you're not sure what to do and you know something doesn't feel right, because your mom instincts, they're always right, right? Mm-hmm. You and I both know.
Yes, absolutely.
Our instincts. But where should a mom start if she's feeling like she's just struggling and she's not getting answers and she doesn't know where to turn? Where should we start?
I would say, like, I really enforce foundational stuff, kind of like you were just talking about. So obviously I would start, look at their nutrition first, always. What are we putting into their body? Does it have a lot of sugar? Does it have a lot of dyes? Does it have a lot of inflammatory seed oils? Is it water from the city that's full of things that are neurotoxic or things like that? So I would start there. And that can feel overwhelming. So I always tell people, start with one thing, right? Like, it doesn't have to be this like, okay, I'm going to go dump out my fridge and my pantry and go buy all new things, right? It doesn't have to be that intense. For me, it started with dyes in my family. And so then I was learning, okay, dyes are almost in everything that's in a package. And then I was like, all right, I'll start with, and then it was like sugars. And then it was the seed oils. And it just, you know, and then I was just like, all right, I got to shop the perimeters, like you said, you know, so I would say start there. And then if you feel like nutrition is there and they're doing really well with that, then I would say we would look at sleep next, because our body cannot heal and cannot act well if we're not sleeping well. Mm-hmm. And so for kids, depending on their age, that could be 12 hours of sleep. That could be 10 hours of sleep, right? The kids these days, especially the adolescent to teenage group, are not sleeping enough because of, you know, devices and social media and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I would start there. And then I would start with, like you said, minimizing screens for sure. Minimizing screens for sure. One of my favorite books that I talk about with a lot of people is The Anxious Generation. And if you haven't read it as a parent, not to scare you, it's going to scare you, but in the best way. Like, it is a pivotal book for sure to kind of just address all of the things that are wrong with technology in our day-to-day lives. So yeah, I think those would be my three top ones, because I feel like they're the three that are really impacting our kiddos.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with how do you breathe? I think that I feel like that's where we should start, like here.
Yes, 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 that's true.
Not breathing through your nose, you're not going to be healthy. So, yes.
And I think that's usually when I'm sleeping, I'm always like, do they mouth breathe? That's like one of my biggest questions is how do they sleep well? And they're like, I don't know. But if they bring up the wetting the bed or that they have poor dental health, I'm like, are they a mouth breather? Are they sleeping with their mouth open, to kind of dive a little bit deeper into that? But so many people have not even heard that that's an issue. And so, but like, I just always think about how the tongue's supposed to be on that roof of the mouth, and how that in itself calms the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And so if our tongue's not, if it's hanging out or tucked back there and our mouth's wide open, our poor nervous system is just like running all the time.
Yeah, on overload. Fight or flight all day. Yep. And I think that's happening to a lot of our kids. And I feel like our school system is failing them. Someone said the school system was made to make worker bees that would work 9 to 5. So I don't think kids are meant to wake up and start their day right away and go to school at 8 o'clock in the morning, first of all. And I think that's where teenagers are struggling, because I remember when I was a teenager, I'd sleep till 9 o'clock. I didn't really get moving until 12, because my circadian rhythm was just different. And I think with screens, our circadian rhythm is different now. We used to go to sleep when the sun went down and get up when the sun came up. Now we have artificial light and all of that. So our circadian rhythms are completely off. And that's what's throwing a lot of things off. And then when you're not getting enough sleep, you're not resting and repairing, like you said. And Absolutely. It's affecting our kids so much. And I really feel like our kids are struggling. And at school, they're just being labeled.
Yeah. That there's something wrong with them and not something wrong with the system. Like, I can't imagine myself right now being like, okay, you got to sit in this chair 7.5 hours a day. You get a half hour for recess and lunch. If that, I heard a statistic that a maximum security prisoner gets 2 hours of outdoor time and our kids get like an average of 27. Like, how sad is that? How sad is that? Like, we are putting them in these boxes and then we're like, what's wrong with them? They won't sit still. And I'm like, I couldn't sit still for that long. I am up and moving around my house. I'm doing walks in between my patients. I can't imagine. I absolutely can't imagine. So I do think there's definitely a flawed system in our schools. And I think that's one thing that for moms, like, it's just like, it's not your kid. Like, don't, you know, it is not your kid's fault. It's not your fault. I think we put that, it's like in a personal attack on us. Like, what have we done? I mean, same with like dental. I know my kid's got a cavity. I'm like, I tried to do everything. You know what I mean? And I think we feel like we're failing, and it's not that. It's
the system.
It's the system, and the world we're in right now is failing all of us, really, unfortunately.
It is. Cavities, brushing and flossing does have a lot to do with kind of like your genetics. You know, your genetics have about this much to do with it as brushing and flossing. So you have to remove that plaque twice a day, get in there, stir it up. You don't have to use toothpaste, because we have so many kids with sensory issues right now. My daughter had a sensory issue. I tried 12 mm-hmm. toothpaste and I felt like I had to use a toothpaste. And I thought she was bad because she was spitting it out at me. I had no idea 20 years ago that there were sensory issues and she couldn't handle the texture and the taste. So I put her in headlocks. Knowing what I know now, I would not have done that to her.
Yeah, I know.
Like, okay, this is what I was taught needed to happen, but it really wasn't true. And, you know, there's so many things that I did to that poor little girl. And now I apologize to her. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know any better as a mom.
No, I know.
And it turned out okay, mom. I think I'm okay.
Yes, I know. We're doing the best we can with what we know, right?
Right.
But when you know better, you do better. So I think that's so important to educate. And my boys are the exact opposite. I have to like yell at them. They're like sucking down the toothpaste. I'm like, okay. Can we not? And I buy very good quality toothpaste, so it's not cheap. I'm like, all right, guys, let's stop with this. I understand.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, so excited. I've used the, gosh, I always want to say the name wrong. Superbiotic, super tea.
Not heard of that.
I have no idea.
There's so many on the market.
There are so many. It's like got prebiotic, probiotic in it as well. So, but it's fluoride free. So that's kind of why we use it.
Yeah, I don't. And that's another thing that you bring up. So they touted fluoride as the best thing that happened in the 20th century. But how, if fluoride was the answer, why are cavities still the number one preventable childhood disease? Do
you
need fluoride? I don't know.
Exactly. No, they don't need fluoride. We need to get it out of our water too.
I think it has more to do with mouth breathing and our diet than it has to do with brushing and fluoride. I mean, you definitely have to brush, because if you don't disrupt that plaque, the plaque in your mouth, they actually found, is what is the same plaque in the arteries when people have heart disease. So
yes.
Your mouth is absolutely correlated to what goes on with the rest of your body. And
yes,
we put stuff in our mouth all day long, and then that goes into our gut. So when we talk about gut dysbiosis, the mouth and the gut are totally connected, and digestion starts in your mouth with your saliva. So if you're mouth breathing, your saliva is reducing. When the saliva is reducing and you're mouth breathing, now you get more acid reflux, which creates more acid in your mouth. And that's why you're getting cavities.
Yes. There's a couple, when I do my GI map, there's a couple, if they come back positive for opportunistic bacteria, like staph and strep, I have them brush with like a dental side in to help get rid of those, because a lot of times we're not going to make any way down in the gut if we're still got it in here. So yeah, it's our first point. So, and that's another thing that I talk about with a lot of my patients. I talk about eating hygiene and how chewing is like one of the most important things we could do. Slowing down, sitting down, eating as a family, and truly chewing our food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our
jaws are collapsing in, and we have more crowded teeth because we don't chew as much. When we were hunter-gatherers, we chewed 4 hours a day.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine chewing 4 hours a day.
No, but they probably had really nice jaws.
They did. They had really beautiful jaws.
Really good muscles.
And now they look like, you know, like they have no teeth, and they're very retronomic.
Yes.
And their teeth are crowded, but their tongues are down. There were no bottles. So if you couldn't nurse, your baby didn't survive. Now we have bottles, but bottles and pacifiers and thumb sucking all bring the tongue.
Yes.
And when the tongue is full, the palate doesn't grow, and the roof of your mouth is the floor of your nasal sinus. So if it's not wide, your nasal passages are smaller. So now you can see how it's just a whole.
I know. Spiral. Absolutely. Circle. Yep. Absolutely. I know. I got a thumb sucker. You know that though. We got to work on that.
Well, I love Myo Munchie. So Myo Munchie is a medical grade silicone. It's kind of like a mouth guard. It's got finger like things inside there that it was actually developed by a gentleman who wanted to help brush teeth and help gum disease. And he found out that it kept the tongue in the right place. And when they chewed, it helped them chew bilaterally, and it helped the jaw grow more. So you can start it as early as 6 months. It helps with the myofunctional, correct it. So being age of three, like 6 months to 3 years old, I recommend that you buy one of those.
Okay.
They're like
$90, $95.
And they just chew for 10 minutes a day.
Oh, that's it.
And just chewing laterally, because we chew one side or the other. So most of us have an eye that's higher or an ear that's higher. We're asymmetrical. But if you chew more on one side, you can look at someone and see that they have a functional disorder just by the asymmetry in their face.
Okay. That's amazing. I love that.
Isn't that crazy?
The things that I'll start paying attention to now.
Yeah, those are the things that I'll look at. But then like you that then can look at the gut and actually do the testing to see what's off so we can give them what their body needs to support.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are like, oh, but I'm doing probiotics, but it might not be the right ones.
Right.
You know what I mean? There are specific strains that we can use you know, looking at your microbiome and seeing which good bacteria are within normal range or if they're too high or too low. And then, yeah, the GI map is like one of my favorite functional tests. Like, I feel like everyone should probably have a GI map.
I agree.
They're not cheap though. So that makes it a little bit difficult, but it's not a test you repeat a lot. Like, it gives us a lot of information and we can do a lot with it. So,
but cheap, yeah. What are we comparing it to? If it's, you know,
right, correct.
If it's $1,000, yeah. I had breast cancer and that was $120,000.
Right. I actually I went and spoke at my high school today and I had them do, it was a consumer math class. So they had me come talk kind of about like starting my own business and all that kind of stuff, but also bringing health into it. So I had two groups and I had them meal plan a healthy day of food and then an unhealthy day of food. And then I showed them the average cost of what it's like to have chronic illness. And just like, they're like, so we just need to start being healthy now. I'm like, yes, 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 you do. Because you might think you can tolerate it now, but I am seeing it younger and younger, type 2 diabetes in children and hypertension in their people in their 20s and plaque buildup in people in their 30s. Like, it is earlier and earlier. And these things all like just tie in together. So.
And are you seeing more autoimmune disease? Like, they don't know what it is, but they call it autoimmune disease.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, so many ANAs are positive now, but I also just like, I mean, the like Hashimoto's, diabetes, psoriasis, like
eczema.
All of these things. Yeah. Eczema, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis. I mean, all of these, asthma, like these are all autoimmune diseases. And yeah, I mean, they fall under that category and it's so prevalent. And it's just, it's, I have these people that come to me and they have this diagnosis and I think they think it's the life sentence, right? And like, I'm going to have to do this and I'm going to be miserable the rest of my life. And a lot of them will bring up nutrition to their specialist. Oh, it has nothing to do with it.
Yep.
And I just am like, okay, but it doesn't. Like, that is not true. Yeah. It has a lot to do with it. And just because you don't know enough about nutrition, I don't know. Nutrition's not that hard. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I'm just like, it's so important. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. Like, stop making it complicated. Stop counting calories and macros. Just eat whole food. Right.
Right. Because the food either creates inflammation or healthy food is medicine. It used to be medicine for us, but now we spray our foods. Our soil is depleted. So the nutrients that we get from our food are not the same as our grandparents got from their food.
No,
we have to eat more.
You have to eat more and like more quality. Absolutely. And so that's why I'm like, if it didn't come from a plant or an animal, we probably shouldn't be putting it in our bodies.
Exactly. And that's where all that, and if the ingredient level has more than 10 things in it, you probably shouldn't be eating it either.
You're nicer than me. I say 5. Well, I'm like, if it's over 5, or if you can't pronounce a single word on there, you cannot eat it.
Well, I made cookies last night because I was just craving cookies, but I didn't, without sugar, without brown sugar. So I'm like Googling, I want chocolate chip cookies without all of these ingredients. And so most of the ingredients had like 10 to 12. And so I got it down to 8 ingredients to make the cookies. So that's why I said 10. Because it has to be what I have in my kitchen that I can make it. But yeah, that's why I say 10, because it took me 9 ingredients to make chocolate chip cookies last night.
Cookies. Yeah, that was a hard one. And so, and that's another thing. I'm like, if you are going to eat those kind of things every once in a while, then make it yourself, because then you at least know what's going into it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's starting to be more good quality like bakers and restaurants out there, but we still don't know. You know what I mean? You still really don't know. And like, who wants to be the person that's like, what are you cooking with? Is there gluten in there? Is this are you cooking with tallow? Are you cooking with oils? Like, you know, nobody wants to be that person when you're going out to eat. So
no, but I mean, even me, like I won't eat beef when I'm out because I don't know where they got the beef from and where what they fed that cow.
Yes.
Or, you know, what they fed that animal that I'm eating. So I'm really picky with all of that as well, because just because of everything I learned.
I know. Once you go down this rabbit hole, you ain't going.
I know. So, yeah.
But I also think, and I try to tell my patients this too, because I'm like, the healthy world can get all consuming as well. And then it can be just as toxic. Like, I don't ever want someone to feel like them eating out has just ruined everything that they've ever done. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine every once in a while. Sometimes you eating out is probably healthier than you stressing about what you're going to cook tonight, right?
Right.
So that balance, and especially with our kids, I mean, we're so busy. It's so important to just focus on doing the best we can with what we got, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that that is a really good point, because also if you're eating something, if you think it's going to be bad for you, it probably is going to be bad for you. But if you're eating, right, you're thinking it'll be okay, everything will be fine. I mean, your thoughts play a whole lot in what happens too. So you can completely stress yourself out with your thoughts, and you really need to trust your instincts about what is right for you. Because what's right for one person might not be right for another person, and everybody's body's different.
We're all so unique. Absolutely. And we all handle things very differently.
We do.
But stress, I didn't say this in my foundational things, but stress is another one that is, you know, something that we really need to prioritize. And it's probably one of the hardest ones to prioritize, I think, because we just live in a stressed out world, and that's like the norm.
It is. So a lot of people know they're under stress.
Correct.
It's normal.
But like I tell my patients, I'm like, our body can't tell if you're running from a cheetah or you're answering 800 emails in a day. It can't tell, but it can tell that your body's just not happy. Mm-hmm. So if it feels scared and doesn't feel safe, it's not going to heal. So
how do we listen to our body? And if we're not listening to our bodies, adults, teach our kids to listen to their bodies.
I think that's one of the lessons that I'm learning, and I'm getting another certification. And one of the things she said, she wanted us to kind of talk about, how is a headache a gift, right? And so some of these people will be like, I don't know, this came out of nowhere. And it's like, but did it? You've been having joint pain for how long? Or you've been having migraines for how long? Or you've been, you know, not sleeping for how long? So did it really come out of nowhere? Those are all, any symptom that our body has is a sign from our body telling us, hey, I need you to just pay attention to me. Something's not right. So whether it's a headache and you're getting leg cramps, maybe you're dehydrated and you need some magnesium, or, you know, or if it's your temperature when you're sleeping, I track my temperature. If your temperature is higher, sometimes it's you had a glass of wine and you stayed up too late and now your temperature and your heart rate are too high, right? So the next day you need to prioritize rest and hydration and all of those kinds of things. So listening to those signs and not thinking they're nuances that I just need to put a Band-Aid on, like taking an Advil, or, you know what I mean? Or, oh, I'm tired today, so I'm just going to go get that iced coffee from Starbucks. No, like, we need to listen and slow down and appreciate that our body's giving us these signs. Because if we don't, it's going to be a bigger slap in the face later, right?
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
And for our kids, they have emotions. So they may be acting out, but they don't know why they're acting out, and their body is actually betraying them. But they don't know that they didn't get good night's sleep and they're in fight or flight. And that's why they can't focus or they have bad behavior. So we diagnose kids with ADHD, but it can actually be sleep disordered breathing. They have the exact same symptoms. So we really need to look at how are our kids breathing? How are they sleeping before we just put them on ADHD medications?
Correct. And checking, and another one is nutrition and checking nutrient deficiencies as well. Because I've had some success with kiddos, like literally just taking, they need like magnesium or vitamin D or an omega. And all of a sudden they are a different kid.
Or cutting dyes out
or limiting screen time. All of those kinds of things. You know, there's so many things that can, you know, put more fuel on that fire. And instead of, you know, using a Band-Aid and not actually treating what's causing the issue, it's just going to make things worse. And then have them, you know, what are they supposed to be on this the rest of their life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who wants that?
Yeah. No one wants that for our kids. And I'm sure they don't want that for themselves. So if they can learn to understand why they're feeling the way that they're feeling, and we can just talk to them about it. My daughter had these major meltdowns, and I would just walk away. Now I know I should have given her a hug and tell her it's okay, because when you're in fight or flight, they don't feel safe.
They don't feel safe. I know. And getting down on their level, I feel like I have the best, like my boys really can like calm down when I get on their level. Because if you think about it, you're sitting down and somebody's up and just like talking over you or talking to you or yelling at you, they're not going to respond in a good way. So that's one thing that I really try to always just get down on their level and talk to them and validate their feelings. I think that's another thing, validating that it's okay to feel this way. And this is how we're supposed to handle this. And this is what we need to do. Because yeah, I mean, learning how to regulate, self-regulate is so important.
Absolutely. And I think our kids are missing that because there's just so much coming at them so fast. I think they said it used to be 17 seconds. I think it's down to 9 that they have the process and they don't know how to process it. And we don't teach them how to process it because we didn't learn that ourselves. Because I know I didn't have all the stimulation coming at me at that age that they have now.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I long for the childhood I have for my children. You know, and that's why we're out in the country. And that's why we are, I mean, that's a, you know, it is what it is, but you know, we are at a dead end street out in the country. My boys can play and run and do all the things. And I have a garden and I make them come out there with me. And we are, you know, giving them chores. I think chores is really important for kids too, for building self-confidence and giving them that. I think because of the way our society is, us as parents, we feel we know so much. We know so much. We see all these terrible things happening. So it's kind of scary to be parents.
Yeah.
Because we see everything happening, right? Like we see all the bad. So trying to let them do risky things and explore and giving them, you know, giving them independence so that they can learn these lessons on themselves, like on their own as well. I think that's so important because, you know, when you're being a helicopter parent, they just can't do that. And then it really affects them long term too.
Right. And then they need to let off steam when they get home because they've been
absolutely up. Yeah. I know. Homework. I don't get it. I'm like, you had my kid for 8 hours. Why do they have homework?
Right. They couldn't have done all this at school. That's how I felt like when you come home with like an hour worth of homework. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. They need to go outside and play.
And you know, some kids are book smart. Some kids need manual dexterity and work with their hands.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend that works up in Frankfurt at a forest school. The kids don't go inside at all. They are.
I know.
It is the neatest thing. They learn
so cool
from nature. I love that.
I love that too. I know. I have seen that school.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun. Whoever started that was genius. Those kids just so well regulated and having so much fun. And I wish I had something like that when Faith was little, but
I know. And like having it here too. We need it down here.
So. Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
So if you had one thing that you would like moms to take away from this podcast, what would it be?
I think I know I had said this. I want to give them all a hug because we've all been there. We're all in the trenches together, right? And so I think one thing is giving yourself grace. I think we have a lot of comparison out there and, you know, we're seeing all these moms who are just killing it, right? And you're like, oh my God, I barely got out the door this morning. So I think giving yourself grace is one of the biggest things. And then also you are your child's biggest advocate. So if you feel like something's not right, or if you don't agree with what they're telling you, go find someone that's going to listen to you. Because I think that's, and if you're wrong, you're wrong. Who cares? It's not a big deal. It's okay to be wrong. But 9 times out of 10, I doubt you're wrong. You know what I mean? You're probably spot on. And so finding someone that's going to listen to you, validate your feelings, and really is going to help you and your child the way you want to be helped. So,
and if someone wants to see you or find you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's actually b2or.com. And then I am on social media. My Instagram handle is b2or2024. And then I am on Facebook as Back to Our Roots. I don't usually, my Facebook got shut down. So I don't use it as like information. I pretty much do all my information on Instagram. And so it's more so just for discovery, but you can kind of find all of my information on Facebook there too. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again for what you do and for being on the podcast and sharing your information. Yeah. And
absolutely. You know. This was so fun. I appreciate it so much. And I'm so thankful for you as well, like being able to use you as a resource for these kiddos that I am, because it is very prevalent with the airway. So you will see me tagging you probably a lot.
And same with me, I will tell you, because you can pick up where I stop.
Yes. And I think that's so, we are building a community here in Kankakee County of these natural minded people. And I just love it. So
me too. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll talk soon.
Yes.
So if you live in Kankakee County or anywhere else, go ahead and look up Annie. She is amazing. And we really do need to be testing. If you guys have been listening to me, you know I've been interviewing a lot of people that are testing these days, and we don't want to guess what's going on with our body. Our bodies are on overload, and they can only take so much in before things just start pouring over. So instead of listening to that TikTok reel and thinking, I'm going to take that, make sure that your body needs that for sure before you start taking that, because otherwise you're just pouring money down the drain or down the toilet. So as always, thanks for listening and have a great day.
Thank you for listening today. If something you heard made you smile, made you think, empowered you, awakened you, or left you feeling inspired, make sure you share this with a friend. Write us a review on iTunes so we can continue to change lives through this content. Make sure you tag us while you're listening on our Facebook page, Dental Hygiene 411, or hit the link in the show notes to join a conversation. Until next time, breathe through your nose and share a smile. After all, they're contagious.